News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast Daybreak. I'm Pathik Prit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. India on Sunday hit the reset button on the rules of engagement with Chinese troops along the entire line of actual control, empowering field commanders to sanction use of firearms under extraordinary circumstances. News 18 had earlier reported that armed forces deployed along the 3,500-kilometer de facto border with China have been given full freedom by the government in giving a befitting reply to any provocation. The change in the policy to use firearms comes as Defence Minister Rajnath Singh held a review meeting with the Chief of Defence Staff and the three defence chiefs for over 2 hours on Sunday to assess the situation at the border. Government sources said he gave his go-ahead for the new tactical approach to be adopted. Under the previous rules of engagement based on agreements signed in 1996 and 2005, troops from neither side could open fire on the other to prevent any escalation. The two countries had also agreed not to use blasting explosives or firearms within 2 kilometers of either side of the LAC. Taking into consideration the local situation, the government has given full freedom to the Indian Army on how to deal with China while protecting the Indian territory and the lives of the army personnel, Union Minister of State for Home G. Kishan Reddy told reporters after the meeting. The change in the rules come just days after a violent face-off between the troops of the two countries at patrolling point 14 in the Galwan Valley in eastern Ladakh, which led to the death of 20 Indian soldiers, including a commander. The Indian troops were attacked with iron rods and clubs wrapped in barbed wire during the clash, and questions were later asked as to why did the Indian soldiers not fire in self-defense. Indian Foreign Minister S. Jaishankar, in a Twitter post, had responded, "Let us get the facts straight. All troops on border duty always carry arms, especially when leaving the post. Those at Galwan on 15 June did so. Long-standing practice not to use firearms during face-offs." Hu Shijin, editor of the Global Times, a Chinese government mouthpiece, said that if the reports of the nod for firearms was true, this is a serious violation of the agreement and India will pay a heavy price for any such action. According to sources, Singh during Sunday's meeting told the top military brass to maintain strict vigil on Chinese activities around the land border, airspace and in strategic sea lanes, and asked them to adopt a tough approach in dealing with any misadventure by Chinese forces. The new tactical approach to be taken up by the army may also include staggered movement of patrols in key areas of the LAC, besides holding some high position or feature for a strategic advantage. Did teens, TikTok users and fans of Korean pop music troll the President of the United States? For more than a week before Donald Trump's first campaign rally in 3 months on Saturday in Tulsa, Oklahoma, these tech-savvy groups opposing the president mobilized to reserve tickets for an event they had no intention of attending. While it is unlikely they were responsible for the low turnout, their antics may have inflated the campaign's expectations for attendance numbers that led to Saturday's disappointing show. "My 16-year-old daughter and her friends in Park City, Utah have hundreds of tickets. You have been rolled by America's teens," veteran Republican campaign strategist Steve Schmidt tweeted on Saturday. The tweet garnered more than 100,000 likes and many responses from people who say they or their kids did the same. Reached by telephone on Sunday, Schmidt called the rally an unmitigated disaster, days after Trump campaign chairman Brad Parscale tweeted that more than 1 million people requested tickets for the rally through Trump's campaign website. Andrew Bates, a spokesperson for Trump's Democratic opponent Joe Biden, said the turnout was a sign of weakening voter support. "Donald Trump has abdicated leadership, and it is no surprise that his supporters have responded by abandoning him," he said. In a statement, the Trump campaign blamed the fake news media for warning people away from the rally. Leftists and online trolls doing a victory lap, thinking they somehow impacted rally attendance, don't know what they're talking about or how our rallies work, Parscale wrote. reporters who wrote gleefully about TikTok and K-pop fans without contacting the campaign for comment behaved unprofessionally and were willing dupes to the charade, he said. On midday Sunday, it was possible to sign up to stream a recap of the Tulsa event later in the day through Trump's website. It requested a name, email address, and phone number. There was no age verification in the sign-up process, though the site required a PIN to verify phone numbers. Inside the 19,000-seat BOK Center in Tulsa, where Trump thundered that the silent majority is stronger than ever before, numerous seats were empty. Tulsa Fire Department spokesperson Andy Little said the city fire marshal's office reported a crowd of just less than 6,200 in the arena. A stabbing rampage that killed three people as they sat in a British park on a summer evening is being considered a terrorist attack, police said on Sunday. A 25-year-old man who is believed to be the lone attacker was in custody, but officials said the motive for the carnage was unclear. Authorities said they were not looking for any other suspects and they did not raise Britain's official terrorism threat level from substantial. Three people were killed and three others seriously wounded in the stabbing attack that came out of the blue on Saturday in Forbury Gardens Park in Reading, a town of 200,000 people 40 miles west of London. Motivation for this horrific act is far from certain, said Neil Basu, Britain's top counter-terrorism police officer, as police forensics officers combed the park for evidence. Chief Constable John Campbell of Thames Valley Police said officers were called to reports of stabbings just before 7 p.m. and arrived to find a horrific scene. He said a suspect was apprehended within 5 minutes. Basu said incredibly brave unarmed officers detained a 25-year-old local man at the scene. Police said they did not believe there was any further danger to the public. Police have not identified the suspect, but Britain's national news agency, Press Association, and other media outlets named him as Khairi Sadallah, a Libyan asylum seeker living in Reading. A Reading man of that name, who is the same age as the suspect, was sentenced to 2 months in prison last year for assaulting an emergency worker. The same man was also charged last year with assaulting a judge who had sentenced him. The BBC reported that Sadallah was investigated by British security services last year over concerns he planned to travel abroad to join a jihadi group, but that he was not determined to be a major threat. Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who met security officials, police and senior ministers on Sunday for an update on the investigation, said he was appalled and sickened by the attack. If there are lessons that we need to learn or legal changes needed to prevent such attacks, then we will learn those lessons and we will not hesitate to take action where necessary, Johnson said. And a Siberian town with the world's widest temperature range has recorded a new high amid a heat wave that is contributing to severe forest fires. The temperature in Verkhoyansk hit 38 degrees Celsius on Saturday, according to Pogodai Klimat, a website that compiles Russian meteorological data. The town is located above the Arctic Circle in the Sakha Republic, about 4,660 kilometers northeast of Moscow. The town of about 1,300 residents is recognized by the Guinness World Records for the most extreme temperature range, with a low of minus 68 degrees Celsius and a previous high of 37.2 degrees Celsius. Much of Siberia this year has had unseasonably high temperatures, leading to sizable wildfires. In the Sakha Republic, more than 275,000 hectares are burning, according to the government agency that monitors forest fires. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.